As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. Welcome to Issues 2022, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
You know, on 60 Minutes recently, President Joe Biden said, the COVID pandemic is over. Do you agree?
It's not a black and white thing. And so the way it was phrased was, you know, people aren't wearing masks anymore, so we're good. And we still have plenty of COVID cases in the United States and here in Kansas. Now, in Sedgwick County and everywhere, it's really hard to know exactly how many cases we have because so many tests are being done at home. So we just know what is done and, you know, tested in the laboratory, and then we get those results. So that may show that our transmissibility is low, but I don't think it's quite that way because I know so many people that are sick currently.
Yeah.
So it is still in our community, for sure.
Still here, but does it fit the definition of a pandemic yet? I guess that's
no, it doesn't. You know, it is. I think we're in the place where it is part of our community, but it doesn't have to be as widespread as it is if people 6 months and older that can be vaccinated get vaccinated. Well, it definitely, the vaccine doesn't, you know, say that that we can't get COVID, but it still protects us, for the most part, from severe disease and death. And even if it's not severe disease, I had COVID and I'm vaccinated in June after a vacation, and I didn't feel very well. So even though it's endemic and some people say, oh, it's like the flu, I can get it. Well, you don't want the flu either. You feel really bad, and then you miss work.
What should we know about the most recent COVID variants, Adrian?
Well, and that fits into the updated new booster, because right now 100% of our new cases are the Omicron BA4 and 5 variant. And so the new booster that we have and that is in our community is a bivalent, and that means it targets both the original coronavirus and the BA4 and 5 variants. The original coronavirus is very different from the virus we have now because it's mutated so much. But the studies have shown that in order for the new booster to be as effective as it can, that we still need to have those two primary doses, either the one Johnson & Johnson or the two primary of Moderna and Pfizer under our belt for it to be as effective as it can be. Just need to wait 2 months after your last dose, whether it's you've had all the boosters or whether you just had the primary, whatever was your last, as long as you have that primary to build, to have that foundation, 2 months and you can get the booster.
So I guess what you're saying, you're still recommending boosters, COVID boosters this fall then, huh?
Absolutely. And that is for anyone 12 and older can get the new bivalent. We do still have the booster for under 12 because the bivalent hasn't been approved yet for 11 and under. So, but yes, everyone still needs to be vaccinated because that's helping keep our hospital numbers down. And even though there's, you know, that natural infection, that natural immunity that we can have a little bit after we've had COVID, you don't want to rely on that. And in the very beginning, we would say, oh, you're good for 6 months. Well, that's not the case anymore because these variants are changing. So if someone's had COVID recently, it's recommended that you wait 3 months and then get that booster for the protection that you need.
Well, now, will these shots continue to be offered free of charge, Adrian?
Well, currently, and I know that at some point the government is looking at stopping that. So, you know, right now places can charge an admin fee, which can be up to, you know, $30, $40. But we are still giving them at no charge at our mobile clinics and at our 2716 West Central location. Just need to make an appointment to come into the clinic to be vaccinated. But those still are at no cost.
How would you describe the impact of this pandemic here in Sedgwick County over the past year or so?
Oh, my. Well, you know, in the beginning it was awful because so many businesses either were not able to be open or were affected so much by the pandemic. People weren't going out. There were limitations on the number of people that could be in a business and gatherings, and so it affected so greatly our businesses in Sedgwick County and everywhere, you know, in the United States. More recently, it's still a challenge to find people to hire, and everyone is still feeling that effect of not quite sure where everybody is, but there's a shortage of people to hire.
And do you have your own bout with COVID? I think you just mentioned it
I did.
A minute ago. Yeah,
I did. I had never had it, and then my daughters and I went to Mexico in June. We were one of the only ones that wore K95 on the plane, in the airport. But once we got there, I kind of put it out of my mind too much. And I know when I was the first night that I think that I got it, because it was the only time we were in an enclosed place and around other people, like eating dinner with. And so, yes. And even though people don't want to get the vaccine because they can feel bad for a good 24 hours, that is much preferable to feeling bad for like 5 days. So just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean you won't feel bad and be tired and maybe out of breath. So it's worth it.
What can you tell us about reactions to the COVID vaccines and the boosters? And I'm talking about, I've talked to people who the doctors are saying, well, it could be a reaction and this and that and the other. In fact, in my own case, I had a little problem with a heart condition after I took the booster or the shot. What do you say to that, Adrian?
Well, it's hard to not, for people to not look at cause and effect. And, you know, there can be reactions, not saying that there can't be, but they are few and far between. And what we're finding when we dig more into those cases or hear from people that have been, you know, gone to the doctor and had tests, that it wasn't related to the actual shot. It was just the timing. And so people think it's related, but it's not. But again, there have been certain effects that we have talked about when those have come out, with Johnson & Johnson, for example. So, you know, that's why we have that report line for if someone passes out after we give them a vaccine, we have to report it. Mm-hmm. So any kind of effect that we hear about, it goes into a database that CDC is always monitoring. And if there are similarities, like Johnson & Johnson, they're able to say, you know, we need to look at what's going on here to stop this.
I'm talking about long-term reaction.
And that is another great topic, Steve, because people can say, you know, I don't want to get the vaccine because I felt really bad for a day or two after, but there are people that are being called long-timers that have long-term effects from getting COVID. Mm-hmm. And, 30-year-olds I've spoken to that still, they're not back to exercising after 8 months because their lung capacity has been, you know, damaged by COVID. So, and that's just one of the many ways that people can have long-term consequences. I haven't heard of, I don't know of any of here in Sedgwick County of long-term from getting the vaccine. I'm not saying there aren't any in the U.S., you know, because we know that there were those cases after Johnson & Johnson initially until they knew what medication to give the person if they did have a reaction. So we know that there's long-term effects that there can be. I don't have a long-term effect, you know, had difficulty breathing for about 3 months after, but there are people where it's much longer if they do get COVID, so it is not worth the risk.
Do you think health officials responded, I'm generally speaking here, responded quickly enough during the pandemic or as we realized there was a pandemic? Do you think the overall health officials got a handle on this quickly enough?
You know, it's really easy to sit back and criticize people, but there were so many decisions that needed to be made, and did we have supplies quick enough to be able to test people? No. I mean, that was really hard because we could only test those with symptoms at first, and that was really hard. And so the supply chain wasn't ready to be geared up that quickly. So I think the important thing is that, you know, hopefully on a federal level, they've learned a lot. I know here in Sedgwick County that every 6 months we do an after-action report with all staff, and we've recently gotten our community partners together. And about 80 different partners came, and we're going to be meeting with them again to let them know the results of that meeting and then to get into work groups looking at, you know, we asked them, you know, what could Sedgwick County Health Department have done to respond better and also to meet your needs? And then the other question was, going from here on, how can you be better prepared? How can we help you be better prepared? And how can we work better together as a community? Because it really, I mean, we can't do it alone. It takes everybody. So, you know, we are learning from our mistakes and what we didn't know that we do know now so that we are better prepared next time. And part of that is we have to continue to get funding so that we have the number of employees and the infrastructure we need to be prepared versus money coming in when there is an incident or a pandemic and then it dries up again, which happened after H1N1.
You know, Ed, it became controversial and political on what steps need to be made, and people didn't want to be told what to do, and they had personal freedom. Did government go far enough or too far in dealing with COVID, or was it just right?
You know, it was. I think one of the things that made the biggest difference this time around that we didn't have really during H1N1 in 08 was social media. And so everyone's talking on social media, and there's so much, lack of correct information that was being shared that it was really difficult for people not to respond, for politicians not to respond, because they had their constituents, pounding on their door. So it's just, again, it's easy to sit back and say, you know, this person shouldn't have done that. And what was that politicized? Yes, it was. But we also need to be aware of the effects on everyone involved because of the panic in the community and the misinformation and the demand for information because of anxiety. And our commissioners and other politicians felt the need to be able to respond and give answers.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. Let's switch up and talk about something else for a second here. What is monkeypox?
Monkeypox. Well, and that is something else that we didn't expect. And, you know, prior to the last, prior to 2000, it really was animal to human transmission. And so just recently, and recently being, you know, since the 2000s, there are cases now that are human to human. So we are dealing with a new virus, really, because it has changed, like COVID did from the very beginning. So, you know, right now, 90% of the cases in the U.S. are gay and bisexual men and other men that have sex with men. But it still really is not, we cannot call it a sexually transmitted infection because you don't need to have genital contact to get monkeypox. So there have been cases of babies in other states that have had monkeypox because they may, you know, been wrapped with the same towel that the person used that had lesions from monkeypox, and then they get it. So it's still the same things that we do to prevent the spread of illness and disease is true for monkeypox. If someone has the flu, or if someone has, you know, what people call the stomach flu, but really isn't the stomach flu, you don't want to share towels. You don't want to share your bed sheets. You need to be careful. If someone's sick, you need to do your best to stay away and to just wash the hands, keep your, you know, hands away from the face. All that, all those things that we do is still important and pertains to monkeypox.
Is the public in general public in danger here? What's the level of concern for the general public? What do you think?
Well, what we are hearing and the data right now is showing that we are at low risk. Now, we have three cases in Sedgwick County. But right now, what we do is our health department staff at West Central are trained to assess and identify and then take samples to test. And if someone does end up being positive, then we find out who their close contacts were, who they live with, and then we can get people at risk vaccinated. And then that protects them.
Okay, so is the flu season here now? Are we in the season?
We do not have our first case yet. And even though flu is not a reportable disease, and that's where COVID will get sometime soon, hopefully, even though it's not a reportable disease, the hospitals do let us know when they have their first case, because then we can say, hey, it's in the community, and so let's rev up our prevention, because flu spreads pretty easily, and if you've had the flu, you feel downright awful for 5 to 7 days, and it is memorable. I've had the flu one time, and I get the flu shot because I don't want it again. And the flu shot doesn't protect us 100% because, as you know, the flu shot every year is based on past year viruses. And so there could be a new virus mutation that's not part of the flu shot, but the flu shot will help prevent hospitalization and death, just like the COVID.
That was my next question. How effective will the vaccination be for the flu shot?
Well, we will have to find out, but it does protect against two types of influenza A and two types of influenza B. So if there's another type, and there could be, this still provides some protection, and even if someone does get the flu after they're vaccinated, it typically reduces the severity and amount of days someone is ill.
Okay. Do you think our schools and other public entities are better prepared for the cold and flu season after the experience of dealing with COVID?
Well, I think that everyone is much more aware of what you need to do, and mask wearing is effective, but everyone is, you know, everyone wants to be beyond mask wearing. You know, we are still wearing masks here in the health department because we're going to be going into flu season, and we know it works because the last two flu seasons, we have barely had flu season. Now, our bacterial pneumonia cases are up, and so if that's any indication, there's not a direct connection. But if that is an indication because it's up now compared to the last 2 or 3 years, then hopefully that doesn't mean our flu will be up, but we need to be ready. And we know that keeping our distance, staying home, whether from work or school, if you don't feel well, particularly during flu season, but anytime, and wearing a mask if you're in a household around others and you have something contagious, helps a lot.
We're hearing reports of polio cases in parts of the U.S. How big a threat is that here in Kansas, do you think?
You know, at this point, low. Our epidemiologists are always doing surveillance as far as monitoring what is going on first in other countries and then in the U.S. and more closely in surrounding states that might be having our community at risk. At this point, there's low concern, but we have our antennas up and are monitoring that.
Is the health department being funded adequately, Adrian?
You know, right now, through ARPA, which goes until 2024 for us, we definitely have more depth than what we've had before, but we need continued money for infrastructure because if we don't have it, then after 2024, we're back to where we were, and that will be not enough depth to be able to adequately respond and be prepared next time. And there will be a next time in the next 10 years that something crosses the ocean and we have another, hopefully it won't be coronavirus, but we have something that we need to be able to respond to.
Right. Hope we've learned some lessons then. Right.
Oh, we certainly have.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, do we have enough doctors and nurses in Sedgwick County?
I can't really respond to the doctors, but I know that nurses are, we do not have enough nurses. We are short nurses here at the health department, and I would imagine that the hospitals are still struggling some with getting nurses. It's been a very trying and traumatic last 2.5 years for nurses that are in hospitals working with, and medical staff, working with COVID cases, seeing so many people die because they weren't vaccinated. And it has taken its toll. We had some temporary agency nurses that had worked in hospitals, and it was just traumatic and has continued to be. So, you know, please be thankful for the nurses because they definitely have put up with mistreatment and then just trauma from the pain and difficulties and long hours of COVID working in the hospitals.
You know, downtown Wichita, there's some plans for medical school and down in the downtown area that are pretty exciting, are they not?
Yes, they are. They definitely are.
That might be an answer right there. Get some more people involved.
Well, we also need nurses, though. We need people. I'm not sure if more people are going into nursing now or less because of what they've heard, you know, during the last 2.5 years. But, yes, bringing more people into our community, some stay. Not all the med students stay, but we do keep some, and that is important.
Well, what do you say to someone who may be contemplating a career in healthcare? It's been a tough couple of years. How about if somebody's planning to maybe get involved in this?
It has, you know, we've lost probably close to 40 medical directors and or medical officers and health directors in Kansas because of COVID. Well, not dying, but they quit. They retired, they quit because it's been difficult for public health also. And we have new people coming in. So people are still dedicated to helping the community and to providing them the medical care that they need. And so we are very thankful that we still have people that are here and hanging in there and coming into the field to help protect people in the community.
Adrian, thank you. Our guest is Sedgwick County Health Director Adrian Byrne. That's all for this edition of Issues 2022, and we'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.